Welcome to the Washington Defender Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington, and I have Kush on today. We're going to have a great discussion about school boards and about girls' sports. And so, Kush, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Brian.
Hey, I am so excited to meet you. In all disclosure, we did meet earlier in Linwood, and our recording didn't work out. I pushed the wrong button, so we're getting to do this again. It's going to be exciting. So, Kush, tell us a little bit about yourself and let the audience get to know you a little bit.
Sure. Hi, everybody. My name is Kush Brar, and I live here in Linden. It's a tiny little piece of heaven on earth here in the Pacific Northwest, Whatcom County. So north of Seattle, right at the border, north of Bellingham. I'm a transplant. I've been here a decade, and I've got two beautiful kids, young kids, with my husband. We're blueberry farmers up here. And yeah, it's been a year on the board, but that year has been really a remarkable journey of challenges, growth, but also reaffirming our shared values of family, faith, and freedom.
Awesome. Now, were you a transplant from? Let me lay out some guidelines too. We're hitting about four or five different platforms here. So if you want to make a comment or have a question, I may get to it. I'm the only one monitoring it today. So if I miss it, I do apologize, but we'll have those there. So were you a transplant from?
Good question. I was born and brought up in the Philippines. Yeah. But by blood, I am a fully Punjabi blood. Punjabi. It's a state in India. Okay. In the northwest part of it. So my grandparents migrated to Philippines in the 70s and 80s. So we've been there for quite a long time. But yeah, I've studied in Catholic schools there, but the ascribed status in terms of religion for us is Sikhism. So I've really got this, you know, beautiful melting pot of different cultures, understanding of different religions and faith. So really a good, you know, strong holding in that sense. And it's amazing now that I'm thinking about it, makes me.
A little Catholicism there, a little. And what was the other one you said? I'm sorry.
Sikhism.
I'm not as familiar with that one. And obviously I'm a pastor and I've done a lot of research. Probably if I thought through it, I might come up with that. But and now you're a school board member and you're in the United States and you do blueberries. Like you raise blueberries, which are great for us. We love blueberries. So
right.
Two kids. And how old are your kids?
My kids are seven, daughter, and then five. I've got a son. So best of both worlds.
All right. Now, if you're just joining us and you're jumping on here, we're going to talk about girls' sports today. I think I put in the description, savegirlsportswa.com. But let's talk about how did you get into the school board? Why did you get there? You know, give me a little history of that.
Sure. You know, I think it was all in all God's hand on this whole journey because I was just vacationing in India, so I didn't really have any thoughts of running, but I was definitely encouraging other people to run and encouraging, you know, not to pit against each other, especially if you have the conservative values and if you're the best person, then, you know, go ahead and run. So anyhow, I ran for the school board. I got in, and it was because of the determination of looking back during the COVID time of, you know, is there really no power to school boards? You know, when they say that, you know, we can't do this, we can't do that, is that really true? I wanted to find that out for myself. So that's why I throw my hat in.
So you kind of started with the question, like, are school board members just yes people, right? Are they yes men, yes women that just kind of rubber stamp everything? Now, if you're jumping on, this is going to be a little bit of a longer interview because we want to unpack this completely. We are going to give you action steps. And so let's go to the end first. So, and that way, if someone doesn't listen to the whole thing, so Amendment 7 and 8, you want them to do what? And then we'll unpack it.
Sure. Okay. So issue at hand is WIAA amendments number 7 and 8 that are proposed in the Representative Assembly. And basically the action plan that we have laid out is through the website, SaveGirlSportsWA.com. SaveGirlSportsWA.com. So no double S's over there. Right. In that we laid out, you know, if you are a school board member, what can you do? If you're a school board as a whole, what can you do? If you're an organization, definitely you can chip in. And also if you are a citizen, you can email all of the 53 voting members in WIAA and make your impact that way. Even if you think that, well, how is one email going to make a difference? Well, it's not just one email, you know, there's definitely strength in numbers. So that's why we have created this one-stop shop of fact sheets and resources and news that you guys can, you know, look up so that you're more versed in what's happening in Washington. We are fighting for our children, but we need the support. So as elected people, as elected officials, we're doing our job. By the way, I'm speaking on my own behalf here, not on behalf of the board, because, you know, there are actions that have been already done by the board. So that's out there for everybody to look for. But 20 school districts have signed on to support amendments number 7 and 8 that changes the current gender identity participation policy of WIAA. We'll go into that deeper a little bit. But the gist is go to the website and make at least one item, you know, to be actionable for this weekend.
All right. So if all of us know our school board members or should know our school board members, at least one, and you need to make them aware of this website, Save Girl. Do I have to make sure I have it right? SaveGirlSportsWA.com. Mm-hmm. So make them aware of that and say, hey, go do your research. Kush and I are going to unpack this, but we wanted to give you the action item at the beginning, just in case you don't listen to the whole thing. So, all right. So you entered into the school board, and just for on the record, she's identified, she's coming at this from a parent, and she's speaking on her own behalf today. I'm speaking on behalf of FPIW Action today. So now that we've got all the disclaimers and all that kind of stuff out there, you came into the school board and you were like, are school board members just yes people? And what did you find, or what was your research like?
Well, the status quo is that they are yes people. That's, you know, what it has become too. And that's the reason why we're seeing the ugly rear end of all of the inaction that should have happened in the past 10 years of school board members. I'm not trying to, you know, lift a finger of blame, but you do have an obligation. You took an oath and you weren't able to fulfill that because, you know, there were so many laws and policies being passed in the last 10, 15 years that you weren't able to, you know, let the community know or advocate against it. And now here we are. We're really, you know, back then they were taking an inch, and right now it's miles and miles. So right. we're up against a, you know, uphill battle. So that's what I found out, that was school boards do have broad discretionary powers. However, those are not being realized to their full potential because, you know, some of those powers are being abrogated to administrators and, you know, really, you know, they're not as knowledgeable as to what they can do and not do. And I feel like you do have a moral obligation to know how to advocate for your kids.
So you did some research and you're finding out like, hey, actually, I'm elected by 4,000, 10,000, whatever the number is, people. And I hear you saying that you realized, like, actually, I'm not there to represent the opinions of just a few, i.e. other board members or superintendents or principals or what have you. I'm actually there to represent we the people, the 4,000 or 5,000, 10,000. I don't know how many people elected you, but people. Is that
4,800.
Yeah, 4,800. All right. So there you go. That you're supposed to represent those individuals. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, because, you know, schools are business for providing services to families. So they are funded by taxpayer dollars as well. So there's, you know, like an onion, there's a lot of layers. And how do you do justice to that role with your, you know, service to the families, service to the taxpayers, and really advocating for the children? How do you do that? So it's not an easy job, but then that's what you signed up for. You know, you better know what you're getting yourself into. And that's what I've learned the past year was, wow, you know, I got myself into something that I didn't knew, you know, or know the full capacity.
Right.
But when God gives you that responsibility, he knows you're up for it, and you have to be up for it like a good soldier and say, yes, I can do it.
That's good. So you started researching, and did you find that actually school board members have authority? I mean, do they actually
Yes, they do. They do. So I'm going to start with, you know, how did I get into WIAA, this whole stuff. So right. May of 2024, I got to know that, you know, the first male in Washington won in the female state championship for track and field. And that was just so bizarre to me in terms of that doesn't sit well, you know, it doesn't sound right. Why do we have male and female sports? So I started kind of doing some research. You know, I didn't know back then what Title IX was, to be honest. I didn't know back then what WIAA was. WIAA being the Washington Interscholastic Athletic Association, okay. Which basically...
Say that one more time slower. Washington...
Sure. Washington Interscholastic Athletic yeah. Association.
Okay.
It is a nonprofit entity that controls, regulates, and supervises athletic activities, you know, for secondary schools.
Right.
And what I got to know was that their authority comes from boards and the RCW for that, which means the state law. That's
okay,
the
RCW. So RCW is a state law,
mm-hmm.
and that's regulation.
Yes. No, that's a state law. These are bills that are passed by legislature.
Okay.
You know, regulations are the ones that are Washington Administrative Code, which are WACs. Mm-hmm. Those are bureaucratic regulations. So okay. RCW.
And just so our listeners know, Kush has her family with her right now because it's a snow day.
We
are family friendly on this show. So while she tends to that, if she needs to, I just want to recap just a couple of things. So I'm interviewing Kush, and she is a school board member of Linden. Now she's talking to us as a parent today and just her on her own accord in no official capacity. And she's explaining that there's some amendments that are coming out, Amendment 7 and Amendment 8, which you can check out at this website, savegirlsportswa.com. And so she's talking to us about these amendments. And what our action item is we would love for you to email, phone call, text message, get a hold of your school board member, and make them aware of this website and that they can take some actions there. So she's unpacking what authority they have, the difference between a law, an RCW, and a regulation, the WIAA.
Yeah, so WIAA does not have a legal authority of their own. School boards are vested with that through RCW 28A 600 200. So the state law gives the authority to school boards to regulate, control, and supervise, you know, athletic activities. Now, every year, the school boards give that authority to WIAA via a resolution.
So they give away the authority that's been given to them, is what you just told
me. Yes, yes.
Okay.
We give that authority to them. We delegate it to them. We transfer it to them. And then we pay dues so that they can, you know, do those, accomplish the regulation, control, and supervision of sports. Because there's, you know, sports is complex. You've
right.
got rules. You've got different sports. How do you govern all of that? So we pay into that through public education taxpayer dollars.
All right. So if I'm getting this right, the law gives the school board members the authority over these areas, and and on their own, the school board members say, okay, well, we're going to give that authority, at least in this athletic realm, over to WIAA. And not only are we going to give them that authority, but we're going to pay them to take that authority that we once had. Is that, mm-hmm. is that accurate? Am I hearing right?
Yes, okay. It is accurate. So it's not a permanent transfer. Like you said, you know, it's a temporary transfer. It happens annually. And yeah, we're going to play in the snow later, kiddo. Close the door. Thank you.
Yeah, it's no problem.
So, that happens every year. So what I found out was that, okay, this authority comes from us, you know, and how do we have a voice in all of the policies, the rules and regulations right. the WIAA is putting out? And I found out that, yes, there is one. So what happened was June 2024, I had introduced a resolution to our board, which eventually gave birth, you know, to unraveling and knowing that, oh, we can submit an amendment, you know, as a member school to this policy. It's called Gender Identity Participation Policy of WIAA. And that is what's enabling students to play in the category that they identify with. So we submitted
an amendment. On that. So because some people, like, the transgender thing is new to them. So understand this, that biological males, other words, with the plumbing of a male, they can say, I identify as a girl, and compete in an area that is opposite of what their sex assigned at birth is. Is that accurate? I mean,
yes, that's how you describe it. Yes. Yeah. That's what the policy basically says, you know?
Right.
And the thing is, you know, that policy is not being, it's not, you know, coming from a state law. We don't have any state law that is implicitly saying that we allow boys in girls sports. What it is regulations, is the interpretation of that law, the non-discrimination against any sex, against age.
I don't mind.
Military status, you know, veteran status, and gender mm-hmm. identity is one of them. Sexual orientation is one of them. That's where it's coming from, you know.
A regulation. So,
yes, it's a regulation, which is challengeable. It is, you know, it's not like the final buck because courts make that decision.
Right.
So, yeah. So, you know, school districts need to realize that law is, even laws are up for challenge in court, you know, if right. whether they're not, you know, constitutional or unconstitutional.
Right. So what I'm hearing you say, and this is really important to understand, is that laws are set by our legislators and or the people, because we have initiatives and referendums, that regulations is what we call oftentimes the deep state. Go ahead. I'll recap here. The deep state or the administration state. And so she's telling us that the school board members have the authority to enact these regulations on sports, and they have designated that over to the WIAA. And that they have given that authority and paid dues to them from taxpayer dollars for to have them orchestrate and regulate these things. And so Amendment 7 and 8, I'm going to show you this website while she steps out. And again, we're very happy that she is taking care of her kids there. But this website here, Save Girls Sports, is where we want you to go. We want you to get this out to all of your school board members. And so it's important. Save Girls Sports WA. And you can begin to see what this is all about. It's going to give you some legal information. And I'll put that up here real quick to show you that website. We want you to check this out. This is incredibly important. And you say, well, Pastor Brian, why does this matter, like, to a pastor and to Family Policy Institute of Washington? Well, it matters because we understand that God created male and female. He created them, and that's it, period, and that there are no other things, and that there's differences of abilities within both. And what I mean by that is we're not talking about value. Male and female are equally valuable, but Kush, is it fair to say there's scientific physical differences between a male and a female?
Absolutely. Those are undeniable. Those are inherent, you know, physiological differences between a male and female. And the thing is, you don't play sports with your mind. You play athletic sports with your body. So right. you have to root your policies in reality, you right. know.
So lung capacity biology of
doesn't deny the fact that, you know, male and female are different. Their lung right. capacity is different. Yep. Their, you know, strides their are going to be different, you know. yeah, their muscle structure and density, right. everything is going to, bone density is going to be different. So right. really, when Title IX was created, it's a federal mm-hmm. law. It was created back in 1972 to really give equal opportunities to women. Female to play in sports, because back before 1972, there was no opportunity for, you know, female in sports. So that was the reason, the preamble of why it came into existence. And now, you know, we're just going backwards, you know, and if we keep going down this road of allowing males to play in female sports, I think, you know, female sports are going to cease to exist as we know it. So we're going 52 years back. Oh. I don't think that's progressive.
We're not progressing when we go backwards. So you're telling me that Title IX was put in place so that women could have their own category to compete in. And it'd be, is it fair to say a fair competition?
Fair, yes. Level playing field.
A level playing field to compete. Yeah. And now what we've said is because of someone either emotional or mental, or, you know, I'm not a doctor, so I'm not going to assign why someone would claim to be transgender, but whatever that is, whatever they can say with the physical body of one sex, a male, they can now compete in a women's sport and they would have an advantage. It's not a fair, equal playing field.
And then there's many people, you know, that are going to argue, organizations that are going to argue that, well, why don't we go for hormone testing? Well, the thing is, hormones are not cause, you know, for difference in sex. Those are effects. Your right. sex is not rooted in hormones. It's rooted in your chromosomes. And chromosomes are only X and Y. There's no Z. There's no Q. There's no AB.
Right.
Only X and Y.
It's so, binary.
Yes, it's binary. It's just like a computer's language in ones right. and zeros. It is binary. And that's, you know, what Title IX also addresses. It's not silent on gender identity, because gender identity doesn't exist in the real world. The thing is, gender identity, per the scientists, per, you know, the dictionary of psychological doctors and whatnot, it's a psychological disorder. That's what it is. So I have empathy for children that are going through this kind of, you know, disorder, but should we really encourage them further, or should we help treat it? Because most of it is just stemming from puberty changes. You know, all of us go through that. You know,
it's so true. Like, I think
changes, you know, and we don't like it. So should we encourage them to go ahead and do chemical castration and go ahead and make up for surgeries that are life altering? You know, that once you do it, that you can't, they're irreversible. How evil is that for a child to make decisions in an age where their prefrontal cortex is not even fully mature, because it matures around the age of 21 or 22. That's what science says. So if we are going to talk about science is, you know, very clear in what biology, what sex is, what decision-making is. And, you know, they're calling this castration and surgeries, they're calling it out, because it's not right to give a 13-year-old the freedom to go ahead and do life-changing, you know, surgeries.
Well, I think this is incredibly important, because I think when you take the foundation of our sexuality and our physiology, in other words, we have the foundation of the plumbing that we have. I'll just say it that way to keep it appropriate. The plumbing that we got. And we say, hey, you can't even rely on that as to what you are. I think it causes a lot of anxiety and depression, where it's better to say, hey, you're having some hormones. Yes, it's very typical for people to have same-sex attraction, or to struggle with their bodies changing, or to whatever it might be. It's very normal for that to happen when your hormones are raging and going off the charts. And so I'm hearing you say that we need to keep the foundation safe for our children to reduce anxiety, reduce depression, reduce these forms of physical mutilations, and eliminate them, so that we no longer create an unsafe place for our children. Is that accurate or is that inaccurate?
Yes, absolutely. You know, there's so many accounts of children who went through the puberty blockers and later on they went to regret it. Later on, you know, they just wish that and hoped for that somebody had guided them to do the right thing and not encourage what they were temporarily experiencing, because studies show that 70 to 80% of students that go through gender dysphoria, again, it's just a term for basically saying you're going through puberty.
Right.
I don't know why we're changing terms, we're changing definitions. You know, see, the thing is, I am being called, you know, transphobic and enemy to transgenders and whatnot. But the reality is, where I was born and brought up in the Philippines, I still have, from my high school, my friends that are gay, that are lesbians, they've got same-sex marriages, you know, and whatnot. That's okay. I support them. You know, they're still my friends. It doesn't change who they are, you know, at the core, because there's more to that than just, you know, there's more to them than just that. But they do respect that what their decision is, it's not going to necessarily be my reality to accept,
right,
you know,
exactly.
Because it goes against my religious beliefs at that point then. And they respect that, you know, I won't introduce that kind of ideology to my children because they cannot, you know, take the burden of such, they don't have the tools to understand, you know, such things. It's kind of like the same thing. If I give my 5-year-old like a 40 kg baggage, he's not going to be able to tow that. You know, he's not going to be able to carry that. So that's the science that is telling us that children are children. You know, children never asked for what their pronouns are. Children never asked for, you know, what gender is. Children never asked any of those questions. It was the adults. And I'm asking the adults to leave the children alone.
Right.
Leave them alone. Leave your children alone.
So if you're joining us right now, we are encouraging you, strongly encouraging you to go to SaveGirlsSportsWA.com. Save, and I have it up there on the website. Let me post it up here. And also, if you have a question for Kush, she is a school board member. Although she's representing herself today as a parent, she's not officially representing the school board. Place that in the chat, and we'll try to answer that question. But this is where we want you to go, and we want you to do one thing. We want you to review the documents that are there. And then once you've reviewed them, contact your school board member and give them the website. Let them know about Amendment 7 and 8. We're going to go into what those are in just a few moments, the difference between 7 and 8. And we're just asking for common sense, practical, historical, long-term, consideration of these things. In other words, For much longer time, we have considered male and female as the two genders, not 72 genders or 74 or 76. We, for thousands of years, have known that there's male and there's female. And we have known, and I know, I can go back, we can go back and look at eunuchs in the Bible, we can go back and look at others in the Bible who had these directions that they go in. Yet what we want you to hear today is we need to save girls sports, because Title IX is being violated by allowing biological men to compete in biological women's sports. And so Kush is unpacking this for us. There's an action step. Go to that SaveGirlsSportsWA.com and check it out. So So the undue pressure of, you just said putting 40 kg, which is that pounds or what? I don't know how many pounds that is, but putting too heavy of a bag on your kid is not right. So if you're going to the airport and you say, hey, carry this 100-pound bag, that's not right to put that pressure on your 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm. You're just abrogating your responsibilities as a parent, to be honest. It's not easy job. You know, it's a calling to be a parent. And because you've got to, you know, bring up children, take care of them, nurture them to become the best human beings that they can be. So that's not an easy job. Right, and I'm seeing that every day, that, you know, more and more, nobody wants it. Everybody wants it easy.
Right.
And easy is not right in terms of giving them that baggage of, you know, things that they don't understand.
Well, even I want to say something on this, because I think our culture has really pushed down, you know, having children. And our birth rate in America is 1.6. I think it's very concerning. We need to get that up to 2 or 3. So go out there, have babies, adopt babies, love on babies, you know, and make sure that we're taking care of the children or the orphans among us. I really believe in that. I believe that's the church's responsibility. I'm not speaking on behalf of Cush right now. I'm just myself. But I think that that's a burden that we need to pick up and say, you know what? Those who have just common sense, love for kids to their and their well-being to stand up and say so. So this is now, what's the time frame on this? Like, how long do people have to respond to the Save Girls Sports before we jump
in? No, we've got 2 months, February and March. I want to go back to kind of, you know, the timeline. So we, okay. You know, I got to know that WIAA has this rule that's enabling the practice, and then it's not rooted in the state law, rather in interpretations of the state law. And the fact that, you know, Washington has its own baby Title IX. Nobody talks about it. I don't know why. Right. Washington's own baby Title IX says that, you know, sports can be maybe sex segregated, not gender identity segregated, sex segregated. And just to clarify, like Brian was saying, sex in this context is what you're
the plumbing you have.
Plumbing you have. I was going to say plummeting. It didn't make sense.
No, the plumbing. Well, I just say it that way because, you know, it just keeps us from saying other words. I mean, I'm not afraid to say those words, but, you know, we don't know who's.
No. I mean, just to kind of make sure that we're all on the same page. Right. But yeah, that's where we're at. You know, we've got Washington's own baby Title IX. We've got federal Title IX that protects us. But Washington really is pushing on the gender ideology right now. I mean, I testified at one of the hearings this legislative session, and I asked them, you know, I said, if religion, which is an innate sense, you know, it's a collection of beliefs, is not allowed in schools, then why is gender ideology allowed? You know, per your own state laws, you define gender ideology as your innate sense of being. Innate. Keep it innate. Don't shove it down my throat. You know, I've got different realities. I've got my different beliefs, because the thing is, it is being weaponized right now. That's what's happening. It's being politicized too much right now. And it's harming, actually, the students that they so-called sympathize with. You know, they don't want to attract attention to themselves. They just want, you know, to be respected, to be, you know, cared for, and have the basic human dignity of being a human. And if we can't give that, they just want to play in the snow, you know.
No, it's all
today,
good. It's all
today
good.
Today we have a snowstorm, and he's 5 years old.
It's so much fun.
You gotta go outside.
So this is the thing, you guys. As we look at this, and while she's helping there, as we look at this, this is where we want you to go. SaveGirlsSportsWatch.com. Save Girl Sports. Let me put that back up for you. And she mentioned something so quickly, but if you don't get a hold of it, you'll miss the importance of it. So there's law, and by the way, there's something called like your RCWs, which is your state laws. But then there's also case law, which sets precedents. This is where rulings come from, and then there's regulations, and then there's, you know, advice that attorneys give. So whenever you're dealing with these things, if you're a school board member and you're like, people will oftentimes say, the law says blah, blah, blah. You need to ask, where's the RCW? You need to ask, where is that written down? Now,
January 27, you know, let me give you an example on that one. Yeah. January 27, Winter Coalition. What happened was, you know, WIAA had its assembly, the voting member, the 53 bodies. I'll explain why the 53, where they come from, who they are. But what happened was they tried to kill amendments number 7 and 8. You know, and said the rationale for that was that, well, they go against state law. And then when they were asked, what's the RCW, they didn't know. They just coded a whack. And the RCW they coded only was for non-discrimination.
Okay, so wait, you just did two things. So they did RCW and a whack. What is a whack?
WAC is the bureaucratic regulation. These are, so you got OSPI, you got, let's say, Department of Ecology, Department of Health, you know, they interpret the state law and then they give their guidelines out. And those are what we call the Washington Administrative Code. And those
are. Okay, so that is what some people label the deep state, administrative state. You know, it's basically not law. Let me give you an example. I've done a lot of turnarounds with organizations. And one of the things that you'll see when there's power struggles within an organization, people will say, well, our policy says, and they say whatever it is. And I say, well, where's that written down on the policy? Well, no, it's not really a policy. It's what we've done historically, right? Oh, okay. So this is okay. Show me where this decision was made by your board, or where was this decision made by this? And they never, or very rarely, I should say, I shouldn't use absolutes. They very rarely can generate for me where the board made that decision. So some person on their own unilaterally made up some rule that this organization is now going to follow. Now, mm-hmm. this is a little bit more formal than that, I would assume, but there's
RCW. So back in June, right, resolution submitted to my own school district, then that gave birth to amendment number 7. And also in tandem, you know, we were networking. I was networking with a lot of school board, districts and school board members across the state, which gave birth to amendment number 8 by East Haunt School District.
So give us the bullets of 7 and 8. Yeah.
Yeah. So amendment number 7 basically says that we'd like to amend the current gender identity participation policy and say that there should be two categories. There should be open/boys and there should be girls for biological female only.
Okay, I'm going to put that on the screen. I'm going to put that on the screen as you talk about these. Go ahead.
Sure. And then amendment number 8. Yeah, we explain it pretty well on the website. Amendment number 8 by Eastmont, even though both of them are supported by over 20 school districts. So amendment number 8 says that we should have 3 categories, meaning we should have boys, girls, and open category. That way, if, you know, it's open to anybody. It's not just, you know, for transgender athletes. It's not just for whether you're L or D or B or TQ. It's for everybody. So the thing is, this kind of solution of having an open category is unprecedented. Like you said, there's no case law that, you know, we can refer to in terms of, well, you know, this happened in another state or whatnot. Mm-mm, it hasn't, you know. So for someone to say that these amendments are illegal, those are opinions at this point, and that's what WIAA is saying. They're saying that, well, you know what? We cannot implement amendments or any kind of policy that is going against the state law. Well, how about the federal law? You know, we're so much focused on saying state law, we're forgetting that we do get federal funds. And like I said before, you know, WIAA gets paid through these public funds, which means they are a sub-agency, right? Because mm-hmm. since we delegate our authority to them, that they are a state actor. They're liable for the actions and inaction. And so does all school districts. You know, we mm-hmm. we're assuming liability here, people. Even if we are silent, that is complacency. That means that you're okay with the current practice. Please.
Right.
Wake up.
And here's the thing. You were called to represent the people that elected you, not to represent the superintendent.
No, You took an oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution, the state's constitution, federal laws, you know, and then state laws.
So let me ask you about these two things. So Amendment 7 and Amendment 8, will they vote on both of them, or will they?
Yes. Both of them are going to be presented on the ballot. It's an online ballot. So both of them are going to be presented separately. And then we'll see whoever wins the race. You know, for us, honestly, personally speaking, I'm fine with both because they mm-hmm. both get the job done. So it really...
So just so I can be clear, because I'm going to have some Christ followers who are going to question my leadership here. So from a biblical worldview, Amendment 7 would be our preferred one, but what you're saying is either one. So FPIW actions recommendation would be 7. I mean, that would, just so we're clear, because I know some of you will want to attack me if I don't say something at this moment. So that's where we would prefer. But if you're going to take no action, I mean, we don't want you to do that. But if, you know, 8's better than nothing, I'll just say that.
That's my reasoning as well, is that the reason why we want both out there on the ballot is that so there's no excuse of, well, why couldn't we have our own category, you know?
Right.
So we're putting everything on the table. And if they're not taking it, WIAA is the problem then. It's the organizations that are part of the problem then at this point. But yeah. Everybody's liable, just so you know. And at this point in time, I would say that the probability of a lawsuit coming in from all sides is very high. So,
and this is the thing: we don't live in saran wrap, a bubble world where we have no risk. Mm-hmm. Any decision, and as Kush, as you just accurately pointed out, any lack of action is still a decision.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Takes on liability, right? Someone's mm-hmm. going to be harmed. And so I think it's incredibly important that we do something. So let's break this down. You have how many counties, or how many, how does that work?
Districts. Yeah. Okay. So let me explain. So the 7 and 8 are supported by 20 school districts. So how does WIAA work? So WIAA has divided Washington State into 6 WIAA districts.
Okay, so
I'm going to come from the top to bottom. Okay. Yeah. 6 WIAA districts. Right. And then each district is composed of several leagues. Okay.
Leagues
are composed of several high schools and middle schools as the members. Because, you know, elementary or co-eds, you know, they don't really have the athletic teams just yet. So now I'm going to go from bottom to top again. Schools geographically closer to each other, they make up a league. And then several leagues make up a WIAA district. Now
these leagues, I want to ask, before you go on, these leagues are even broke up into size because are they not like, we were like the state.
Yeah, there's like 2A, 3A, you know, that kind of category. That, and then they play against, you know, depending on the enrollment of children.
And why do they do that? I mean, why not just say, hey, you know, large school play against a really small school?
I have no idea. It's really complex, Brian.
I actually think I think I have an answer to that. So it's kind of, I think they do that because the same, so I'm a principal-based person, right? So the same principle of when you have larger schools, you're going to have naturally more talent or ability in that other shows. So to create a proper level playing field, they compete similar schools together.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, that's just my guess.
And they can't see that for boys and girls?
That's what my point is. It's like, yeah, that's what my point is. It's like their own principles of how they're structured.
Where's the equity?
Yeah.
Where's the equity?
Exactly. But I know, like, we were state A champions 4 years in a row. And when we went to double A, and I may have this wrong, in Grandview Greyhounds, we started losing because it was a different pool of people. So anyway, go ahead. And that was all the same.
So leagues, right? We got schools and then, you know, that it's that composes the leagues and then leagues become the district. Now, leagues is where I want you to focus. Now, schools have what they call a school vote. Obviously, you know, WIAA is made up of its members, it's member-led, and we do have a voice in that one. And that's called our school vote. And these are the athletic directors for each school district that represent that high school or middle school. It can be a principal too. Anybody who's employed basically by the school at those levels of middle school and high school, you know, they can be the school vote. Now they relay, you know, they forward their stance on these amendments. There's like 16 for this year, you know, 2025. They forward all of their concerns, you know, their stance on the amendments to the league, you know, as a whole. And then within that league, there's one person that they choose to say, okay, you have the marching orders, right? And this is what you're going to tell our WIAA district. Ergo, you know, the WIAA representative assembly, because that one person from each league is the voting representative, you know. But here's the thing. There's no process in the WIAA handbook, in their bylaws, in their operating procedures. There's no process on how that happens. You know, how does a school vote gets forwarded? You know, is it verbally? Is it written? Is it during a WIAA, you know, district meeting? How does that happen? That's the opaqueness. And that has become the status quo because the athletic directors, the coaches, the working, they don't consult with school boards anymore. You know, they kind of taken us out like that. You know, the thing is we have everything to do with what WIAA does. Again, because their authority is coming from school boards. Otherwise, they don't have any authority. And here's the thing. I'm just going to put it out there. WIAA does run the risk of having members not renewing their contract anymore. You got to be aware of that, you know, because that might be, or if legislature is not listening to us, if WIAA is not listening, when I say us parents, then we as parents can definitely go march into our school boards, school districts, and tell them that, well, we don't want to be part of WIAA anymore. We don't want to play by those rules. You know, we've got federal Title IX, and federal Title IX supersedes state laws, especially when it's in direct conflict. You know, that's in the U.S. Constitution.
So I agree that you guys can pull your membership of WIAA and that would be a tool to
it's gonna be
to
devastating.
Get them,
yeah.
To get them to listen. I do want to say this because sometimes when we and this is not to pick on you, but when we talk about marching in, I want to make sure, like, if you're a Christ follower, always you know, exuberate Christ. You can be clear and not be rude. Right. You can express your opinion and not yell and cuss at people. So no. we are not asking people to do that. We are asking you to take a stand and to really let your voice be heard, but do it in such a way that is winsome and clear. And so I don't know how else to say that, but I just want to make sure that we.
Oh no, that's perfect. You know, that's how, I mean, how would I as a mother advocate for my child?
Right.
It's you know,
I have a problem.
It's going to be passionate because when right. it comes to our children, you know, we are the last line of defense. So
that's right.
And that's also same for school boards when it comes to school districts. So you got to do your job. You know, you got to really toe the line in terms of your obligation. And yeah, so that's just one thing I wanted to put out there for the record.
Yeah, no, it's good.
This is not the end of the line here. We do have other recourses, but we're trying to do this the right way, like Ryan said, you know, and this is that way. So let's give the amendments the maximum support that right. they need. Let's educate, let's empower, and let's have more school districts pass a resolution or a letter that supports both of these amendments. And that's okay, not legally binding, by the way.
We're about 46 minutes in, and I want to make sure people still know what we're doing here. So first and foremost, I'm talking to Kush. She is representing herself as a parent, and she happens to be on the Linden School Board. And she's making us aware of this two amendments that are coming forward that will help save girl sports in Washington. So if you want to go to this website, and Kush, always just, you know, correct me if I say it wrong, savegirlsportswa.com. We want you to do two things. We want you to read it, and we want you to contact your school board member because they need to know how to vote on this. So will they get an email, Kush, and they'll have to vote on these? Is that how that works? So,
yes, this is online voting, April 9th to 8th, but we're not going to wait until April 1st or 9th because by then, you know, decisions would have been locked. So we've got February and March, and in terms of school board, that's maximum four meetings or two.
Right. So Washington Defenders, we need you. This is a family issue. I'm just telling you right off the bat, it's a family issue. Even from safety standpoint, when a man, a biological man, competes in a biologically woman's sports, even volleyball, I mean, it could be a lot of different things. And we're built different. And so we need to make sure that our girls are safe. And so we want you to share this with board members. Find your school board members, give them this video, give them this website, have them read it. If they have questions, reach out to it's on here, reach out to them and ask questions, but they need to make a vote that is informed versus ignorant or silent. And so we need you to do that. I'm going to put the website up here again. Also, if you're joining us, you have a question for Kush. She is like very informed on this topic. So just type that in the comments. I'll pick those up and we'll try to display those. It's savegirlsportswa.com. We need you to take this action. Christians, you cannot sit back and just do nothing. Call your school board members. Talk to them. You know, see them at church. Say something to them. Have you checked this out? And be involved in that. Okay, so you have about 20 out of the 300-ish school boards.
Yeah, 295, yes.
295, okay.
Yeah, so 21.
You have 21, which represents how many votes? Like, where are we at in the votes?
So 53 votes, right, is total. And then 32 is the 60% that is needed for the amendments. I haven't really mapped out because some of the 21 school districts actually just, they're geographically close. So they're just really one vote. Two districts out of the 21 could be one vote. I haven't mapped that out. Maybe that's something that I might be able to put in the
West. And I think you should come us back because if you come back on, we can say, hey, we need from this school, this district, we need this
right,
one.
Right.
We should start calling that out, what districts we need to vote. Yeah.
Yeah. We have a strategy going on right now, Brian, to kind of meet up and then see how to whip the votes, I guess, is how it's going to be. You want to play political? We are going to play political then.
Right.
How do we whip the votes? So definitely we can come out with the target school districts, you know, that we know are more inclined on this issue in terms of doing the right thing, but they don't have the right information yet. They don't know what to do. So we're going to target those and we can put that in the website. Definitely give me a week, you know, it's going to be there and maybe we'll, you know, meet back again and we'll see.
Let me ask you this. Cause you know, obviously I work on other realms where the excuse is, well, if we don't win King County, we can't win. Is that the same thing? You know, there's 39 counties. Is that the same here with how these districts break out? Like if King County doesn't participate in this or goes the opposite direction on these amendments, can we still have enough votes on the other side?
Yes. Yes. King County has, oh my gosh. King County has like about 10 or 11 votes out of the 53. And it was King County, by the way, that tried to kill the amendments back, you know, on right. January 27. They said they want to table it to next year. Actually, they said they want to withdraw the amendments. And there's no process for withdrawing an amendment in their own handbook. They just keep making their own laws, their own Robert rules.
Right.
Lie with it and think that, you know, well, nobody's going to catch us because people are ignorant on this.
Okay, so if you're on the east side of the state, stop with the excuses. This is the time to get your school board members involved. We can outvote King County on this issue, but we need to mobilize. Absolutely. We need you to get a hold of your school board member. We need you to talk to them. We need you to tell them about this website. And I know we're repeating this over and over, but people are coming and going, as you can see. So we need you to tell them about that website and get them involved on Amendment 7 and 8. Now, just to break it down, Amendment 7, you're not going to get both of these amendments. Amendment 7 says biological girls compete in biological girl sports, biological boys compete in biological boy sports. Amendment 8 says girls, boys, and then a third category, which is, I don't know what it is, but it's
open. Yeah.
Open.
Well, just to correct Brian, amendment number 7 says that the boys category is /open.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I see that. Yeah.
It's the current practice anyway. So for any of the sports categories that girls do not have like their own category, they can actually compete in the boys category, but they don't compete as boys. They compete as girls still.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's a difference to that.
So then we want you to get out there and share this website, call them, text them, email them. I'm thinking one of my school board members I'm friends with. I haven't told them about this, told her about this, but I'm going to do that, make sure that she knows and is aware. And the time frame is April, but we got to get it done before April.
Yeah, votes are going to get locked by then. So like I said, we got February and March, and you know, we're trying to get this movement on a state level. Because the federal laws are in our, you know, on our side. So if we have to hash this out in court, then be it, you know. But WIAA tried right there in front of our eyes, you know, to try to really kill the amendments. You know, I'm going to say WIAA because that whole assembly represents WIAA. But thank you to the 36 representative voting members that voted. Well, we want to keep it on the, you know, on the ballot. 17 voted, well, let's take it off the ballot. So that should give you a good idea of where WIAA stands. And 17 saying no, you know, we don't want it on the ballot. That's a number too big.
Is that public information?
Yes, on YouTube, go to WIAA's page. And then they had that January 27, that live. I haven't looked back, you know, to see whether it's still there. Okay. But yes, we're going to be asking for Public Records Act in their voting process, so we know which school district said no.
Because you know, we need to Washington Defenders to contact those people and say, "You voted no on this to remove this? No, no, no. You're not representing me." Because remember, Kush has accurately portrayed. You don't work for the superintendent. You don't work for the other school board members. You work for the people who voted you in, and that's your oath. So whether
these are public school employees, the coaches, you know, the athletic directors, these are public school employees. Ergo, you know, they take public money. That's how their salaries are funded and whatnot. So if you're, you know, if you're voting to violate Federal 9, we've got executive orders right now saying that the funding is going to be pulled, you know, for any school activities that are supporting gender ideology.
You mean on the federal level?
Keep that in mind. Yeah, better keep that in mind and better toe the line. And I think Washington OSPI, the Office of Superintendent of Public Education, Chris Reichel, that oversees all of the, it's a regulatory agency, like we discussed, right? Oversees all of the school districts and whatnot in public education here in Washington State. They are, I don't know whether it's intentional. I feel like it is. You know, they don't really want to clear the lines in terms of the state law and the federal law, because federal law is pretty clear. State law isn't. It's their bureaucratic regulations that they're trying to justify that this is pretty clear. Well, not really, because we've got Supreme Court cases that are telling us that law is challengeable. And so especially the regulations and the guidelines that are interpreting that is also challengeable. You know, they can't be the court. They can't be the judge, jury, and executioner in one. They don't decide, you know, to withhold our funding because we broke a law or not. That's the court's job.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Kush is using the word law and she's using the word regulation. And so please remember, our RCWs give us a lot of protection because of Title IX on the federal level. And then the baby Title IX on the state level that you mentioned. Yeah. So we have some protection there in the law. It's these regulations from the administrative state. Is that a fair term if we call it the administrative state?
Yes, administrative rules.
Yeah,
administrative rules. And the thing is, they have this, it's illegal, you know, permissive authority that they're trying to put on us, you know, that this is the law and you got to follow it. It's not.
Right. So we need our elected school board members to be courageous, to get informed and educated. We are encouraging you to go to the SaveGirlsSportsWA.com and check this out. I'm going to put this up just real quick so you have it. Check this out, SaveGirlsSportsWA.com. This is a family issue. I want to be very, very clear. This is, to me, it's showing dignity and respect for women. I mean, quite our young women and girls. And so, and I also believe it's a safety issue for families, for kids that are competing in sports. Now, Kush, I remember when I was in high school, the first girl that played, so this would have been like 1980s, that played on the football team. Mm-hmm. I remember that, right? They played in the football thing. I don't know that she ever was put into the game. But she was definitely there. Mm-hmm. How is that different than this, what we're talking about?
She's playing as a girl, Ryan. She's not playing as a boy. That's the biggest difference there. And the thing is, she didn't have an opportunity probably in 1980s to, you know, having her own category of football, women's football. So probably that's the reason why, you know, that was allowed. And like I said, it's still allowed for categories that are not, you know, existent for females, but are available for boys, then they can compete in the boys if they want to.
And that's why on Amendment 7, open/boys.
That's Alaska's current policy too, just so everybody knows that there's another state out there, Alaska, their secondary association, they've got this policy going on right now there.
So the reason I bring that up, because I did it intentionally. So the girl playing on the boys' football team, she's taking that risk physically. Like she's inserting herself and saying, I want to take this. But this would really be this. A girls' football team inserting a boy.
Right.
So that's two different things. In my mind, that's two different things.
That's not fair. You know, I think there was a famous tennis player, a woman. I don't remember if that's Coco is her name. Or I think it was Serena. Serena Williams, right? She, you know, she had a very famous interview where she said that if I'm going to be taking on the best tennis, male tennis player in the world, and I'm the best female tennis player in the world, I'm going to lose. And that's not, you know, that's not something that she was saying, you know, because of politics or whatnot. No, it's just the reality, again, the science behind it, because those are two different playing fields and those are not, they're not level. At least the girl that is, you know, playing the boys' football and whatnot, she's assuming that risk and that responsibility. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Versus the cases we see right now where volleyball, you know, NCAA, you do that spike and then, you know, there's a different force behind that hand and, you know, they get this concussions and there's actually worse injuries that have happened there. So I don't really... No, we don't need to justify that, you know, it's not safe because it's not fair.
And this is where it's really important to point out. I believe that in the sight of God, we're created in the image of God and we're all created valuable in his sight. So we're not talking about value here. We're talking that we're created different. Now, I know that there's some girls who are more trained than me that could probably kick my rear end if they do like jiu-jitsu or whatever, right? So I'm not claiming that. That's not possible.
They train, you know?
But there still is a physical difference between men and women or young men and young women. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with our muscle structure, our lung capacity, our height, our weight, our, you know, all those, you know, testosterone, all that stuff that's there. It has to do with that. And what we're saying is save girls sports, savegirlsportswa.com. Check it out. Your action step is to contact your school board members. And so it, we go ahead. Keep going if you need.
Oh, you're good.
Okay. So this has been our time with Kush. We're so glad that you have taken this time to listen today. Kush, thank you for doing this twice. I'm so sorry the mute button got muted the first time.
No worries. Apologies for my kiddos running.
Oh, no. It's good. It's totally my fault. We had her in studio and I messed up somehow and didn't hit the right button. And we didn't, you would have been a really good lip reader. That's all I gotta say. We had video, but we did not have audio. So thanks for jumping on. So,
no worries.
So like we like to say around here, go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. If you haven't downloaded that Washington Defender app, do that today. We'll have this and other stories posted. Share this with your school board members. Get them that website, school, savegirlsportswa.com. Here, I'll put it up because it's kind of a tongue twister. Save Girls Sports.
It is. It was not a decision to make two S's, not two S's. So there's no two S's. SaveGirlsSportsWA.com.
So check that out. Share that with your school board members. And then if they need to get a hold of you, Kush, it's on this website, right? Through the
It's info. On the website at the very bottom. Yep.
Okay.
Well, and there's more, you know, there's other courageous school board members that are helping out. So please, we're doing our job, you know, but we need you to also show up.
Okay. So if you have any questions, you can get a hold of me, bnoble@fpiw.org, and we would love to connect you and Kush or whoever. I'm not necessarily an expert. I've just read the website and interviewed with Kush here. But we think this is really important to families to do. So get out there, make a difference, take a stand, do it clearly, but without rudeness. I think as conservatives, somehow we've got to be clear, but take away the rudeness, be passionate. Without, you know, being obnoxious. I don't know. I just want to encourage you to do those things. So God bless you. And we'll talk to you soon. So Kush, you can stay on afterwards here.